is a Psalm 25, 4 and 5. God, make us to know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all the day long. We just thank you, Lord, for who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Wow, thank you, Jesus. I'm still basking. God is good. Pastor asked me on Sunday if I would give the message, and he says, I'm sure you have a word. And my answer was, I don't have a word right now, but I know God has a word. And so I went before God and asked him the word that he would have for us tonight. And the word he gave me was, in my presence. And that's why Grayson had these songs tonight about being in his presence. Well, I was so excited because my heart is a worshiper. And being in his presence was like, wow. But God had a different reason that he chose this for me. And the reason is this. Over the past few months, my heart has ached. And the ache has increased, which what is happening in our country. At times, it has brought me to tears. And it's been a real concern for our future. And just before I came tonight, the Lord had me open Lamentations, and Jeremiah was crying over Israel with anguish, but also with hope. I had been to 23 countries. I've been to Haiti 12 times, and the first time I went, not knowing anyone. I've been to Jerusalem and lived there for 3 months. I walked the city streets in Jerusalem at night by myself. But I have never experienced or feared being a Christian as I do today living in the United States of America. And that's why God chose this title for me, because I need it to be ministered to. Because of this study, God has given me the answer through his word. And I pray that you will receive the word that you need specifically for you tonight. The first word he gave me was Psalm 37, 7 to 9. Well, that's not what's on here. Let me read this because it's a different version, I believe. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way or over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. That uplifted me tremendously. And there was a real word here. God says, fret not yourself about the evil. It tends only to evil. So what the Lord's showing me is, when there's evil, don't give it back. That's not God. And what he's showing me is, this is not a battle between Republicans and Democrats. This is a territorial between God and ungodly. And it's both sides. Because when we judge someone from the other side, we are taking part of that evil. And God says, we're not going to get anywhere doing that. He says, for the evildoers shall be cut off. So we need to trust God, do we not? The next one he gave me was Jeremiah 17, 7, 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear its fruit. So what God is saying here, we're like that tree, and we have that watering that we have all the time. He has equipped us for every single season that we are going to walk through. But we need to trust in him, and we need to trust he is the Lord. The next one is a combination of Psalm 91 with some verses together. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. He is our protector. And the name for it, God has different names. Jehovah Jireh is our provider, okay? Jehovah Shalom is our peace. Jehovah Tsehiyoth is the Lord of hosts, our protector. And then he took me to Revelation 20, verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. And those who had not worshiped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. He actually tells us in the word that Christians are going to be beheaded. But he also says that they will receive a higher calling because they are the martyrs. They never back down. When I finished reading, and then all of this, when I finished reading, it led me to an understanding of, number one, his love, and that his ways are higher than our ways. So it became encouraging because I started getting caught up in the rhetoric of the negativity everywhere I went. And because he gave me the opportunity to do this tonight, he is bringing me back in. And I hope this is helpful to anyone out there. That's where I was. One of the things God does is he plans ahead for us. Do y'all know the story about Zacchaeus? We had a song when I was little that I sang in Sunday school, and I'll sing it. It gives you a real short story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was not liked by the people. He was a tax collector. He was rich. He was greedy and unliked. And here Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house today. And the people were enraged because Jesus was going to a sinner's house. Well, when Zacchaeus came down, he stood. And this is Luke 19, 8 and 9. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He wasn't liked by anybody, but Jesus came. Now, some people say, well, lucky for him, there was a sycamore tree. Well, let's think about the sycamore tree. It takes longer for a sycamore tree than for a man to grow. So the Lord had to make sure that that seed was planted for that sycamore tree. This was not a coincidence. This was not an accident. This was a plan of the Lord. Now, the question is this. Review your life and answer this question. What seed did God plant in the earth in anticipation of your birth? What tree did you fail to climb? Or what tree did you refuse to climb? Or right now, you may be standing in the shade of a tree. There's nothing more important to the Lord than pre-planning encounters with his children. Only his hunger will cause, he can make the tree for Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus had to make the choice to climb up the tree. In the meantime, his sovereignty will make sure that the tree is in its place, ready and waiting. Anytime you're ready to climb it for your destiny. And this is from a book by Tom Tenney. And here's a little prayer that I would like to say about this for all of us. If we have to climb every tree and open every door that presents itself in our pursuit of your face, we'll do it, Lord. We are so desperate for you to miss my moment in the presence of the Son. The cost of missing you is far higher than the cost of chasing and catching you. Praise you, Jesus. Let me go back to the other example. Was the Lord showing me that he has equipped us. He has equipped us from the darkness. And it's going to get dark because the Word of God says it's going to get dark. At the same time that it's getting dark, there's also going to be light that can come from us. Your Heavenly Father never intended for you to dwell in the earthly realm, constantly looking at and dwelling on your own problems. You were birthed for the heavenlies. In fact, you are the only creature of earth that was birthed for the heavenlies. What is your natural response when things go bad in your life? Just think about it. Do you run to somebody else? Do you run away? Do you go to God? What do we do when bad things happen? Well, there's an example, and I wanted to read this about the darkness. This was a verse that I used, going to Haiti and everything. You have to know your authority. You have to know who you are when you enter into different places. And this was one of the verses that I had always clung on to, that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Think about that. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In other words, He has rescued us from the tyranny of darkness. So do we have anything to fear for the future in the United States of America as being His? The answer is no. The example here is Paul and Silas. A slave girl was possessed with the spirit of divination, and she followed them around. And one day she states, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And Paul said, "That's the spirit of divination," and he cast it out. She was a fortune teller, and she was making lots of money, and no longer could she do this. So the masters of this girl got very upset. So they ended up going to the magistrate and told the magistrate lies, and they were thrown into prison. Before they were thrown into prison, they were beaten with stripes upon them. When they went into prison at the 12 o'clock hour, they started singing to the Lord. And you had to realize that these men in prison, hearing them, they heard them when they were being beaten. And now they come in there singing to the Lord. And they had to think they were insane, because no one in their right mind would be singing after they had been grossly beaten. But what happened as a result of their singing? An earthquake came, and it shook so badly that the doors opened, the shackles went off of the chains, went off of everyone. And the prison guard wanted to kill himself because he knew he was a dead man. But the mercy of Paul said, "Come with us." And he went with Paul, and later he ended up washing the very stripes of the men that were beaten, Paul and Silas, and took them to his home. And he and his entire household were saved. Now we might think, well, that's a strange thing. And what we have to realize is God's ways are higher than our ways. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, don't judge that God's not using it for His purpose. What spirit possesses you in times of pain, difficulty, or impossibility? Do you sing and pray to Him, or do you moan and groan to other men? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and an answer I think most of us can say we've done both. What is the secret of worship during the dark hours? When you begin to worship, you ascend to that place to join the object of your adoration. You become one with Him when you're in worship. The Bible says God made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I told you that the Lord used a lot of scripture. Now I want to talk about, we talked about the encouragement of the dark. We gave examples, okay, of two men, and the result was save souls. There are many people out there that are crying out in the wrong way, but all they need is Him to change them around. We, as the body of Christ, need to be on our knees. God said in His word, love your enemies. Love them. We need to have compassion and cry out for their souls. That's what we need to do. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. We're on his side. We are not part. We just live here. We're not part of it. We live in the kingdom of heaven is where we live. And we need to be responsible as members of his body and be the example for others out there. And I mean other Christians. You can be a light to put darkness out, even in a fellow brother or sister. We need to be a light, and the lights need to come together to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And what happens when we're in the presence of God? It shouldn't only happen in church. It also needs to happen in our households. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's a promise of God. Exodus 33:14, "And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." That means wherever we go, he goes. Why? Because he's in here. He lives within us. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It's not a 10%, "I'll give you my time, Lord." The 90% will be my time. He's saying, when you seek me and find me, you'll have all. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find him. Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." Now, I never realized the second part of that. Not just calling on him, but calling on him in truth. In other words, I really, really want you. I really want you, Lord. That's my heart. That's really the truth. I'm not just saying it because it's the right thing to say. I'm saying it because it's my heart and it's the truth. Acts 17:27, "That they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." Have you ever sat before the Lord long enough to hear him sing to you? This is the word of God. That was Zephaniah 3:17. Hebrews 9:24. "For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are always copies of the true thing, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, as intercessor for every single one of us. Psalm 73:28, "But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of his works." And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." And isn't that what God says in his word? Love him first and love each other. And the other part of that is as yourself. And I learned something way back. I can't love myself until I receive the love that my Father has for me. The love he had for me was giving up his only son. That's how much he loves me. And until I get the revelation of that kind of love, I'm incapable of loving me. So that's where we need to start, is knowing the kind of unconditional, pure love that the Father had for us and that Jesus has in going on the cross and taking everything with him that was ungodly from us. Now, we talked about his presence, and I wanted to finish tonight spending some time in his presence. And the paper that I just gave you, there's two songs that we're going to have. We're not going to sing. You're just going to bask in his presence. And I gave you these so that if you wanted to have the words later, you could have them. You can understand it when they sing. Also at the bottom, Jenny was so sweet in putting on the internet where you can get these two songs on the internet. And I pray that they'll be a blessing. I couldn't help but cry both times, or with both the songs when I heard them, because there's such a purity of God's love and what he wants to do in his presence. God wants our attention, people. He wants us. And this is the Wednesday night group. Okay? So this is the meat. The meat. Because you are hungry for more. So I just pray that as we pray these, sing these songs, that you will be blessed. And I know that God has something for every single person that's in this room tonight. All kinds of people have been praying for us tonight, for God to have his way. So I just thank you, Lord, that you have your way in each and every one of us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Almighty God, that you chose us and taught us how to love back. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.